You are listening to the Chelsea Village Baptist Church podcast. For more information about Chelsea Village, visit us online at chelseavillagebaptist.org.
As we continue in our series on the life of David, we've seen much of the background and the history of David's life. Largely out of 2 Samuel. But much of the Psalms also reflects David's life, because about one-third of the Psalms is attributed to David's writings. So quite a few of them. Many of them have even been set to music today. Of course, a lot of them were written to be sung in that day. And this psalm that we'll be looking at this morning is the third psalm, which is a prayer, but it's also intended for a song to be sung. We might start by saying, who of us here have never been afraid of anything? We all have our fears, don't we? Whether we want to admit it or not, we have our fears. We have our trials. We have our sorrows. And that comes to even people of God. Mainly when we are not putting our full trust in God, when we're depending on self or something else rather than God, then our anxieties turns to fear most of the time. When troubles come, what is the natural response of most people? You know, a lot of it depends on the situation. Much like the situation David was in, and he found himself running for fear of his life. But we find that oftentimes it's been labeled, you may have heard the term, fight or flight. So a wise person knows which one's the best option, usually. But sometimes in the heat of the moment, we don't make the best decision because our focus has been distracted, or we're depending on our own selves. I was talking to a man yesterday. He said, "Have you heard about my road rage?" I said, "No." He pulled out his phone and showed me all of his pictures where he got beat up. He said he was going down the road, and he said this truck in front of him kept speeding up and slowing down, speeding up, slowing down. He said, finally the truck just stopped. And he said, "Well, he's got trouble." He gets out to see if he can help it, and the guy picks up a stick out of the back of his truck and starts beating him. He said, "Whoa, where did that come from?" You know, quite an unexpected surprise. But, you know, we all react differently sometimes when we are looking for, or not looking for things. Sometimes we're looking for things that it's not there, too. But David, a man after God's own heart, was given wisdom by God to usually make the best decisions. But as we find what resulted from Psalm 51, Psalm 3, it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't made the right decision to start with. But he made a bad choice and, of course, paid for it the rest of his life. That's what's sad about any of us, is the mistakes we make sometimes, we pay for it the rest of our life. And it only takes just an instant sometimes, or a very short period of time, to come to one of those situations where we don't make the best choice. Early on, we see where David ran from King Saul out of fear for his life. He ran because he chose to run, because he did not want to play a hand on what he called God's anointed. And he had opportunities to even kill Saul in much of those running days where he hid from Saul. So he chose to do the flight rather than the fight. And then, you know, of course, David was not afraid of a fight, as we have seen in some of the sermons that have been presented. You know, as a young shepherd boy, David fought the lions and the bears and even a giant Goliath. He wasn't afraid of a fight. And he was a valiant warrior in battle. He fought many times in battles. Was courageous. And he knew that God's protective hand was upon him, as we see in many of the other psalms that he wrote, as he gave praise to God for his protection. But now here toward the end of David's life, we see again he is running out of fear of his life. But what makes this run even more, you know, he chose not to fight, because this was a flight to keep from fighting his own son. But David was in a difficult situation. He had become an outcast, a fugitive from his own city, Jerusalem, which was called the city of David. He was running and a fugitive from his own people that he had ruled over. That's because Absalom, his own son, was in rebellion against him. And he was seeking to kill his father, David. Now, can you imagine the heartbreak, as well as the fear that David experienced as he left, as he ran, as he got out of Jerusalem ahead of Absalom's coming in with his troops? But you know, as David fled, you know, there were others that were against him as well. We find in 2 Samuel 16 where one of Saul's family came out and ran along the ridge above David, cursing him, throwing rocks at him, throwing dirt on him. And one of David's valiant men says, "Let me just take that dead dog's head off." And David said, "No. Don't do that." Said, "He may have been sent here by God." Because David remembered what the prophet Nathan had told him when he had sinned his great sins. How that he would be persecuted, basically. How that his days that remain would be nothing but trouble. And he even told him that it would even come from his own house. And so David understood that. Because of his sin, he was not going to get away with it. Oh, yes, he had been graciously forgiven. He had been restored, as we saw out of Psalm 51. But still, David reaped the results of his sin. And his own rebellious son was one of the instruments in this. So Absalom was, he was an attractive young man. We find that before Absalom was killed, they said that he had hair. I mean hair. That's what got him killed. His hair got hung in a tree limb. And he couldn't get out. But anyway, you know, not only that, he was a clever politician, I guess you might say. Yeah, he promised all the good stuff and everything that he couldn't deliver on. Man, that sounds familiar, don't it? What are we faced with today? Well, in 2 Samuel 15:30, as David left Jerusalem, 2 Samuel 15:30 says that David went out of Jerusalem weeping as he went, barefoot and with his head covered. It was a lament. He went out with sorrow and sadness. And it also said everyone that was with David did the same. They wept and covered their heads as they went, because it was such a sad day. But you know, when we stop and we realize who is in charge and who is in control, then our whole attitude, our whole mindset, our whole being changes. We can have peace when we rest in God. So that brings us to Psalm 3 as we read that. Psalm 3. It says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many are rising against me? Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be on your people. Selah. May we pray. Father, we know that your word speaks plainly. It speaks truths. It speaks to our hearts. If we would just open our hearts, our minds, and be quiet before you. Oh, Lord, we just pray that the fears that may be here this morning in this place would be subsided, that they would be taken away and replaced by a trust in you, because you're the only one that we can truly depend on. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word this morning. May it speak and accomplish that which you desire, and that it would not return to you void. Glorify yourself, O Lord, in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With the background to this particular psalm, we do come to the third psalm, and it is speaking to our hearts. The first couple of verses there, as he cries out, "Oh Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God." You know, many might say that David didn't have any help, even from God, that God had forsaken him. But God did not forsake him. If God could forgive and put up with David, surely he's going to put up with you and me. So we can trust in that, and we can rest in that fact that he is here, and we can give thanks for that. Thank God this morning that he forgave David, because that is a sign of his forgiveness for us as well. Because God is the same yesterday and today and forever. He will always be the same. He is an unchanging God. But when we come to him in repentance, he will forgive. You know, this doesn't mean that David didn't pay for his sins, because he did. He paid for it in hard kinds of ways. But as we come down to the end of that second verse there, where he talks about there is no salvation. Oh yes, there is salvation in God. We can always depend on that. And then he puts that the little indicator in there, the Selah. Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion about exactly what that means. But it appears about 71 times throughout the Psalms. You know, it's probably something to do with music. Some kind of a note or some kind of indicator to rest or pause, to reflect on what has just been said. Or, you know, we might call it a stanza in our language. But when we do stop and we pause, you know, some has said that, you know, it's a sign to tell us to stop, look, and listen to what God is saying and what he wants us to hear and understand. So when we come to the Word of God, we should stop, reflect on what he is telling us, listen to what he is saying, and be obedient to what he instructs us to do. Until God hears us when we pray, especially when it is truly a heart cry, when we come to him with sincerity. Of course, we can't put on front with God, can we? Because he knows our hearts. You know, if you look at the protective hand of God that is upon us, you know, we can Just depend on him. Verses 3 and 4 says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud and to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill." You know, we think of God a lot of times as being in heaven, somewhere in a distant place from us. But we need to realize that not only is God a heavenly Father, but he is also a personal Father who is right here with us. One who never leaves us nor forsakes us. You know, the protective hand of God is to those who seek him first. If you look at the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter, you know, Jesus was teaching in part of what has been called the Sermon on the Mount. And as he taught there, he was talking about prayer, the beginning part of that sixth chapter of Matthew. And he said, you know, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the Gentiles who think that they're going to be heard by a lot of speaking. Or don't give some kind of pious, empty words that don't mean anything. It's just to be heard of others and seen. But he told us to go into our prayer closet, says he put it, into our own private places so that we can be alone with him and that we can commune one to one and that he will hear us when we pray. You know, God, our Heavenly Father, knows what we need before we ask. That's what Jesus said. He said, our Father knows what our needs are before we ask. Then he goes on in the middle of the sixth chapter of Matthew and gives what we call the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer that gives us some guides on how we should pray. And finally, he says that, you know, you should not be anxious about your life. You know, we could say that David was anxious maybe about his life, but Jesus said, don't be anxious about your life. And he goes on to say, you know, what you eat, what you drink, how you're clothed, anything that sustains life, you know, God knows and he provides. You know, he talks about the lilies of the fields and the birds of the air. You know, that God is in control of all of that. And then he finally comes down to the 33rd verse, which has been one of my verses for a long time that I go to when I'm seeking God. He says, seek God and his righteousness. Not just seek God, but seek him first in his righteousness, his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all of these other things that you have need of will be given to you as you have need. You know, we fret about a lot of things, don't we? with the Christmas season coming on, you know, and the flood of stuff that's being bought and given and received. You know, there's a lot of joy that can be gotten from that, but, you know, most of that is the over and above in it. It's not what we might say our needs. You know, our needs, our day-to-day needs are being met when we trust in the Lord to do it. But then in the fifth and sixth verse here, we find a rest when we can rest in God. resting in God. I lay down and slept. Sometimes it does feel so good just to be able to lay down and sleep in it. When you're tired, when you're weary, when you're wore out, when you have overdone it, and there is more to do than there is day, we feel like that there is. And then the little rest that we get sometimes don't seem like enough. But, he says, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. I will not. This is, some has called this a morning prayer. Not morning, but morning. When you get up, when you wake up, a morning prayer. That would be good for us all to start our day off with a psalm like this, or maybe even this very one, when we find the assurance of our fears are no longer a problem and our rest has been in God. And that we have found that because we have trusted in Him. In spite of all of our problems and troubles that even David had, he trusted in God. He could sleep at night. Finally, I guess, maybe he got some rest. Just a simple trust in the Lord is better than most sleeping pills, isn't it? Because when you can lay down in peace and know that you are being cared for by a Heavenly Father who is watching over, then that's the most restful peace and sleep that anyone can get. When you look at that, we don't need to fear, when we're trusting in God, when we're at peace with Him. He says in Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Oh, man. Perfect peace. Have you ever experienced perfect peace? If you haven't, then maybe your full trust has not been in God. But he says that he will give perfect peace for those whose mind is stayed on God and trust in Him. Even Martin Luther once said, if there were more fear of God, there would be much less fear of man. Martin Luther was finding himself in a time of flight, of running as well, and hiding for several years for fear of his life from those who were church leaders. Man. But the fear that he experienced, if you fear God, you don't have any need to fear man. Even Jesus himself said in Matthew 10:28, he says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul and cast into hell. Ooh. We need to fear God, don't we? In a healthy kind of fear. Where we come before Him in awe and looking to Him as our giver of life and our protector. Not only of this physical, but also of the soul's eternal life. But God fights our battles for us. We can't always depend on that. Look at the times in the adventures of the children of Israel. When they would go out and they would put their full trust in God before their battles. Oftentimes they didn't even hardly have to raise a sword. Because out of rain and lightning and hailstones and all other kinds of things, or confusion between the enemy fighting themselves or killing each other off. And when they trusted God, God took care of it. When it looked like there were overwhelming odds, just like Gideon, you know, he faced a whole army with 300 men. And God caused a confusion within the enemy camp. They killed one another. So when we look to God, He fights our battles for us. Verse 7, 8 says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek," or the cheekbone. "You break the teeth of the wicked." Some of you may be familiar with the boxing. Why does two people want to get up there and fight like that anyway? But most of those that are knocked out in a boxing match, they receive a blow to the cheekbone. As you know, one of them can take a lick on the forehead or even on top of the head and it won't knock them out. But if they get struck in the face, on the cheekbone is the knockout. But, you know, David may have experienced that. I know I've had some blows to the head before. So, the old saying goes, "I saw stars." No fun. But when, you know, God does it, he said, because God was the one who struck the enemy where it hurts. He was the one who did the knockout. You know, and God also had broken the teeth of the ungodly. You know, as you might say, they no longer was able to bite David. He realized where his protection and where his strength came from. But then finally in that last part, salvation, it belongs to God. Belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. The blessings of God comes. You know, the Lord is the author of salvation. You know, David never thought that he could lose his salvation. As we saw from Psalm 51, after his sin, he cried out to God, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Not to restore salvation, but the joy of it. Because he is the giver of salvation. He never thought that someone would have to even work for it. We can't work for our salvation. There's nothing that we can do. You know, salvation is the gift of God. And we have to accept that because it is a free gift, as we find in Romans 6:23. He says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of God. As we think about Christmas, as we think about Advent, you know, Jesus was the perfect gift that God gave for us. But then he ends this third psalm again with that notation down there at Selah. Let us stop, look, and listen. What has David said about God in this psalm? Well, if you go back to the third verse again, David calls him a shield. You know, David, being a warrior as he was familiar with what a shield did. It's protection. It was a covering. God covers his own. You know, if you go back and study the Exodus, when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, God gave a shield as a pillar of fire by night and as a cloud by day to protect his people. You know, even in Ephesians 6:16, he tells us to take the shield of faith as believers. Take the shield of faith. You know, and we also see in that third verse where God was also his glory. You know, God manifested himself in many ways as his glory. Even to Moses when he was on the mountain receiving the commandments. Now, when he came from the mountain, he had been in God's presence. And they had to put a veil over Moses' face in order for him to read to the people. They were afraid. But the glory of God was manifested. But his manifestation is real for us today. We walk by faith. And the glory of God is with us. You know, as saying the joy to the world earlier. You know, the angel's announcement said, joy to the world. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. The glory of the Lord is a glory to the Lord in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. But you know, he makes himself so real to us today. If we would just but listen. You know, God is also a lifter up of David's head as he was reminded. Because after all, what had God promised David? He said, I will build you a house. When David wanted to build the temple, he said, no, I will build David a house and give him a blessing and a glory and a kingdom. And we know that, of course, the lineage of David came down to Jesus Christ. You know, we may be down, but God is going to lift us up when we put our full faith and trust in him. What are you trusting in today? Is it self? Is it job? Is it money? Is it possessions? What are you trusting in today? Trust in the Lord, and he will lift you up. Let me pray. Father, we know that in you that we can find peace. We know in you we have life, and only in you we have life. And Lord, if there is anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior and has many fears and anxieties, Lord, I just pray that today they would let go of those fears. They'd trust in you as Lord and Savior. And you would give them life and eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.